You are listening to Talking Earth. This is KBO Portland. I gotta answer the phone.
Thank you to all the restaurants that have provided food for our volunteers today. Bread and Ink Cafe, located at 3610 Southeast Hawthorne, provided breakfast, serving breakfast, lunch, and dinner in the neighborhood for nearly 30 years. Voodoo Donuts, located at 1501 Northeast Davis, provided donuts, where the magic is in the hole. Corbett Fish House, located at 5901 Southwest Corbett, provided lunch, serving a 100% gluten-free menu for lunch and dinner at two locations in Portland and one in Vancouver. Bombay Shot House, located at 804 Southwest 12th Avenue, provided dinner, serving traditional Indian dishes as well as vegetarian-friendly options.
KVU Community Radio is proud to present Who is Gil Scott-Heron as part of the We Real Cool Jazz Series at the Clinton Street Theater Thursday, September 17th at 7 p.m. Who is Gil Scott-Heron is a portrait seen through the eyes of those who loved Gil, his friends, his family, and the musicians he played with. All attending the theatrical screenings receive a download of Scott-Heron's last record, Nothing New. Again, that's Who is Gil Scott-Heron, Thursday, September 17th, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Rockets and moonshots.
KVU Community Radio is a proud sponsor of Bike for Peace, a 7-mile bike ride in recognition for the International Day of Peace. The riders start at 5 p.m. at the Northwest Hostel, 425 Northwest 18th Avenue, over the new Telecom Bridge to the Hawthorne Hostel for their 12th annual Bike and Movie. Again, that's Bike for Peace, September 19th at 4 p.m. Starting from the Northwest Hostel, 425 Northwest 18th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to Talking Earth. This is KBO Portland, 90.7 on your FM dial. My name is Patrick Bocard, and I am tonight's host of the Talking Earth. I have with me in the air room two local poets, one of whom I'm known for a long, long time.
Yes, that's true.
Okay. I've known you for a long, long time, longer than you've been on the air.
Okay. Yes. There we go.
Josh Lubin is the host and curator of Salon Skid Row, a Tuesday night reading series, and you air movies as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's a, what we call the cinema obscura aspect of it. My friend Reed Bannels, we used to do multimedia stuff a long time ago, so he has an amazing library and collection of obscure little films and shorts, and we play them up on the screens and stuff.
And then that is at the Corner Bar downtown.
That is at the
right
corner
next bar, to yeah. the Rialto
pool room, correct.
And your work has appeared in House Fire and Criminal Class Press,
among other forgotten chapbooks.
Okay, so it's just chapbooks. It's probably a published other things too, right?
Yeah, I don't submit as much as I
Still submit more than I do. Much more than I do.
Not really. But.
Our other poet is a working class poet tonight. Amy Zimmerman. Her poems have been included in Volume 1, A Drunk in a Midnight Choir Anthology.
Hi.
Hey, Amy.
What's up, Amy?
What's up?
Sup.
And I'm going to step out of the way and let them introduce themselves to you with their work.
Oh, I thought, let us, hi, I'm Josh, I'm a Cancer, I like long walks on the beach.
And, oh my God.
I wasn't exactly sure what you
okay, meant. Okay, that was pretty terrible.
Let's just get to the reading.
Okay, have you forgotten our banter from the last time we did this together, my friend?
Yes, I have.
Oh, good, okay, well, maybe we should just move on then.
I'm Patrick, I'm a Virgo, I'm not sure where to go to the next poem.
Okay.
Please interrupt me.
Amy, would you like to read first?
Oh, gee, thanks, sure. Josh.
I recently had Amy on the show. She has some really fantastic work, and it was a pleasure to, when you asked, can you bring someone out to read? And I was like, Amy Zimmerman, have her come. So, yeah, please.
Yeah, and Josh, just so that you know, my son, from now on, is going to be calling me the local hero because of you putting that all over Facebook. So thanks for that.
You're welcome.
All right. So this is my first piece. It's called Forest Park Vespas. The thing about it is, now we know what's important. Not the numbers or the stench of following, but the salmon pink of the spring sun setting over top of the northeast corner of Forest Park. Somehow it's all that matters, or that I can give directions to any pho restaurant in town, but get lost finding my way to Vancouver. That tonight someone left the keys in their Vespa and they were turned in. That a black girl talked about being with a white boy, and I held my breath hard and let it out and held it again without knowing it would be okay. And I'm still not sure it's okay, but I listened to the story and it was enough. Or now, when there are little bits of unraveling in all of my fabrics, and the ancient Greek seamstress scolding us patrons, you can't be scared of cutting off those loose ends, showing me the undersides of the seams. But it isn't the unattached I fear. I think snipping the ends would feel like branches, like digits, or like toes. Like in kidnapping movies or The Big Lebowski. What if I couldn't let me leave and cut off all my toes to stay? What if it's what I do every day? I pay the bills and show up for work, walk in shoes that don't require toes. But I work in the tiny space of all this, hoping to stay, if only to reap a crop of sunset.
Yeah.
A crop of sunset. That's awesome. Love that ending.
Do you have one more? Because I was going to read two.
Oh, why, yes. I happen to have brought another. Thank you, Josh.
You're welcome, sir.
Is this planned
you're
out?
You're welcome, question mark.
So recently I actually got to go down to Oakland for the National Poetry Slam, and I got to see some amazing poets, and it was kind of life-changing, and I got to drive all the way down 101 and camp out in the Redwoods, and that was an amazing experience, and I wrote this upon coming back. So California, your northern hills smell of sage and lavender, and I wheel like your hawks above my rock slide. Ghosts had unstitched their whalebone selves and were waiting at other window panes than mine. The painstaking work of thousands of years of wood grain and rough rock, shouldering the tide's yoke, undone the moment you kissed me. California, your low-hanging smoke indicates fires I cannot see, so I return home where my water rises. A saltwater rises above locks, staggered and dammed. It takes all dust with it and explodes the bladders of my lungs. What need have I of them now?
cool.
Oh my God, I can't even look at you.
I've heard that before. Wow. It's just like my whole life flashing before my eyes. Thank you.
The whole National Poetry Slam flashing before your eyes.
Oh, that's a whole other topic. Okay. You and I could talk about the slam stuff, but
I barely know.
So Oakland was cool, huh?
It was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, I used to live in San Francisco for a long time. And my sister still lives in Marin County.
Okay.
So, yeah. But I haven't been to Nationals in a long time. So, but good stuff.
You just said that. You totally just said that.
Whatever. God.
You guys are just cracking each other up. And no one on air, no one listening at home knows why. And that's actually fun.
Well, we just had a very, very lovely overpriced dinner over at the Doug Fir and made our way here. So, you know, we're just in the mood for it, I suppose. I guess I'll do two pieces. Yes?
Yes.
All right. So I was going to read two pieces about modern love. And one is a flash fiction piece and one's a poem. So, and yeah. So this is called Texting Lola, flash fiction piece. Ray imagined Lola's face, that look she made just before she was going to come, the way her eyelids half closed like two sleepy almonds and her lips quivered, curling into a secret smile, lifting her cheekbones up, pushing her tiny ears back. She had such cute ears. Sometimes they wiggled. His cell phone kept vibrating. There was no time to text. He was close. He imagined the way she would roll her neck left, always to the left, stretching out the small pool where the nape of her neck met the blade line of her shoulder. He imagined her arms, the way they squeezed tightly into her torso, and the way it made her look so small just before she let go. Sometimes she shook. Another text rumbled in. With his phone on his belly as he stroked his cock, he could see one message, two messages, then three. Lola knew what she was doing, and to Ray, it felt like love. He imagined her tits lifting like two exclamation points as she arched her back. He imagined fingers and toes, her secret smile and cheekbones, her ears and her torso, all at once, curling, lifting, everything wiggling and shaking. He was so close. Four messages now. Then a fifth. This was Lola, all of her, reaching through miles of wire and steel to touch him, to pull him in and push him over. Then a sixth, then a seventh. She knew what she was doing. Ray arched his back, kissed at the empty air of Lola's mouth, and exploded. Lola knew. It always took seven. Ray lay quietly in the darkness for a few minutes, slowly letting his breath and heartbeat wind down until his cock lay soft in his hand. He placed the cell phone on the night table, cleaned up, then lay back in the bed to look at the messages. Come for me. 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 Ray smiled and texted Lola back. Ray, did you come? Question mark. Lola, yeah, that was hot. Winky face. Ray, if we do this enough times, it almost feels like we're fucking. Lola, LOL, exclamation point. Ray, wanna talk? Question mark. Lola, we are talking. Ray, no, I mean talk talk. Lola, maybe Wednesday? Question mark. Ray, I'd really like to meet you sometime. Lola, me too. Soon, K? Question mark. Ray, K, XO, XO, XO. Lola, K, XO, night night. Ray lay motionless for a moment, then decided to look at one of Lola's pictures. The last one she sent was a selfie of her, smiling over a plate of enchiladas in some Mexican restaurant. Her head was turned slightly to the left, stretching out her neck. He could see a little bit of a blue dress hanging loosely off her shoulder. She felt so close. She looked so happy. All right. And then a poem. It's called Mostly. And in her text, she said that she was surprised she wasn't bored yet. And there's always that scene in the movie where someone is running through the street to catch a train or a plane, running to someone because of unexpressed love. And poetry is boring. Every time I read a line, it feels like there's a turnstile someone should have jumped. And I understand boredom, and she tells me I talk in my sleep, and we speak mostly with our bodies at night. Even in our silence, there are tonalities. We brush our legs against each other beneath the sheets, and it sounds like music. I'm not making this part up. It's not like crickets. We sound like a cell on vibrate, receiving a sexy pick. And she doesn't talk much. It's like the woman who could only say, I love you, when she said it in Spanish. And, well, that's all right, because I'm not really talking about love. Mostly, she talks dirty, and that's all right, because I'm not really talking about love. Mostly. It's like the scene at the end of the movie, when the guy pulls the girl into his arms and says something like, baby, let's forget about St. Louis. All we have is this. And they kiss. And she tells me I talk in my sleep. Mostly. And poetry is boring. Every time I read a line, it feels like there's a turnstile. Someone should have jumped. All right.
Man, modern love is depressing.
What? Oh, yeah. Well, you know. I guess it was easier when...
When Bowie sang about it.
What's that?
When Bowie did it. Oh,
yeah, we can forget about that. Modern love. It's a wonderful topic. All the kids are doing it these days. As Amy just stares at me with that vacant, what are you talking about?
I happen to like David Bowie. What?
No, I like David Bowie too.
No, you don't.
It's not his best album.
What are you talking about? I'm a kid of the 80s. Of course I love
that. The look on your face, though.
No, I mean,
it was like he was just annoyed that I brought up.
No, it was like a, you know, it was like a monkey wrench thrown in my train of thought.
Just to warn everyone, I mean, Josh, you're from New York.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm just asking that because I know that, but like everyone out there.
Yeah.
And I'm also from a suburb of New York. And
what suburb? I don't think I ever asked you about that.
It was it's Nassau County. It's the edge of Nassau County.
Westchester County, and in the city. Yeah, me.
No, oh, you're from Westchester.
Yeah, and
yeah, I never moved to the city. I was lame like that.
Anyway,
but yeah, it just kind of.
What was your trick?
So it's kind of like this tension of like, and
it's a good poem. Forget about it.
Yeah, it's a good poem. Forget about it. Let's go to Pledge Central.
Oh,
that's more West Coast than.
Yeah, that. No, I'm not New York. No, I'm not New York.
How's it going, Walt? How are you doing?
Well, you know, Josh, you have maintained your poetic presence on part of town, and you know that was trippy. And Amy, I'd never heard her read before, and that was really cool. And actually, Patrick, I'm sorry, I had to bring Patrick on board to take charge of whatever we're doing here. So. We'll do this, the prayer for Barbara and Robert in a little minute here, but let's think about, you can't do this anywhere in the world except in Portland.
Well said.
In Capo, you can't do it. I mean, I've done it so long, you know, and you get into trouble, but after 10 o'clock, you can darn near do anything except no gratuitous words.
Yeah, but just about every other station in Portland, you can't do poetry.
Oh, no way. OPB won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. I mean, that's all I'm saying. I know that sounds redneckish. I've got Ferlinghetti's Poetry as Insurgent Art. And, you know, do you know what I find intriguing about your generation of you folks is that you love poetry. You love spoken word, and you really do it. You put your energy and your heart and your soul in it, and that's every guest we've ever had, Patrick. They put their heart and their soul into it, and they go googly-eyed just thinking about, gosh, I'm on radio. And then they want to come back next week.
If you want to keep this going, I mean, there's one way to do it. It's to donate to KBOO. And you can donate online at KBOO.FM. There's a nice little change like change jar you can click on and then donate. And you can
sure they call into this number 877-500-5.
Yes, they can, and they can totally call in.
I'll talk to them. Yeah,
and they can totally call in to 1-877-500-5266, and you're going to get Walt Curtis on the other end of the line.
Well, we've got Patrick and Amy and Josh Lubin and. Amy, I don't know your last name.
Zimmerman.
It's Zimmerman.
Zimmerman, like the Zimmerman we know. What was his name? Yeah, Bobby Zimmerman. Yeah.
He changed his name, though.
Yeah, Bob Dylan, he changed his name. What does Zimmerman mean, Amy?
Actually, it's carpenter.
Oh, okay. It's Yiddish or, you know, or something. Yeah, yeah. Yiddish, probably, but
yeah, German.
Well, Yiddish. That's what
that is so close.
Yeah, it's so close.
Well, the New York.
It's
Energy...
okay. I married the name. It's all right.
You married into the name. Yeah. Oh, wow. But, what a. So... Well, you know, you're a very attractive young woman, and if I was in the marrying. No, I'm not in the marrying.
Okay, let's not go there.
But we're. Well, no, people want me to have a gay marriage, you know. I mean, but I don't want a gay marriage. I don't want any marriage. I want to live alone and die an old hermit like Jack Kerouac, scattered poems here down on dark earth, before we all go to heaven, visions of America, all that hitchhiking, all that railroading, all that coming back to America.
Walt, did you have a poem to read? We're doing a prayer.
Well, let's do a prayer for, you know, Ferlinghetti and Josh, you saw him at 94.
Tell
us about that. I mean, what was that all about?
Well, I went down to the 60th anniversary of City Lights bookstore, and I heard this rumor that he was going to be reading, and I asked people, like, oh, no, he doesn't come out to the bookstore. So I went up into the poetry room, and actually there was a line coming out of where the office was. I said, well, what's going on? It's like Ferlinghetti's in there. So I got some books and I got in line and I got to, it was funny. I did get to talk to him for a few minutes and I mentioned I was from, you know, I spent time in New York and in the Village. He said, you mean the Lower East Side. So,
you know, he's so accessible. I saw him up there changing a light bulb.
Yeah. Okay.
Changing a light bulb. And I gave him my book, and he came out, and he said, Walt, art thou a Whitman? I mean, what a sweet thing to say.
He was a sweet guy and sharp as a tack, and he signed some books, and he took pictures with people.
Oh,
and
God.
It was a real treat, because I didn't expect it at all. So.
Well, you know, we're going to just keep him going until he's 110.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Just a couple of insurgent... A true poem can create a divine stillness in the world. It's made with the syllables of dreams. It's a lighthouse moving its megaphone over the sea. It's a picture of Ma in her Woolworth bra looking out a window into a secret garden. Poems are the lost pages of day and night. You know, this lovely little book, Insurgent Mexico, we're going to do this here, just... we want somebody to call in. You call in right now. Somebody to grab it.
So you call 1-877-500-5266.
Well, you know, Patrick Bocard, and we're gonna do a shout out before we're not gonna take too much time here, but we want to talk to Barbara Lamorticella and Robert, and there's some health problems at home. Yeah. But you know, you were Barbara's engineer for 15 years, and then I decided.
15 years.
But you're taking over the Talking Earth. When's your next show here?
Actually, I don't know. Actually, Camille.
About Camille. Who's she on the whole?
Camille Perry is hosting next week. I will be here as a board op, but she's hosting next week and has Jamie Mortara and Sarah Gehring. And I probably mispronounced their names. I'm really sorry.
Camille. Awesome.
But Camille is pretty awesome. She put together the...
Go ahead, tell us about
what
it.
What did she put together
she
recently?
She put together the recent Beat Poetry Festival, and it is national and international. There's these festivals happening all over the country and all over the world, actually. And we did the Portland edition a week ago Sunday. And she's great. She's a great writer, too.
No, Leanne Grable was there, and Steve, they liked it a lot. But is she related to Carla Perry?
Not that I know of. Yeah, Walt, I read a Burroughs piece with Leanne. It was wonderful to share the stage with Leanne.
I love Leanne. She's
big shout-out, Leanne Grable. Woo-hoo.
So let's get this going here. Anyway, let's give the number one more time.
It's 1-877-500-5266.
We want to get no. You're Patrick. This program, Josh and Amy, it has a lot of energy.
And so we got to get it back to it.
Yeah, we got to get back there. So but would someone, for God's sake, call in, or for the Tao's sake,
Someone for the Tao's sake, call in.
The Chinese Tao.
Keep this station going. I've had wonderful memories here before, and I'd love to see it around for another million years.
Okay, so
if you want to call, I'll be here to pick it up. So
okay.
All right.
The Talking Earth.
And we're going to get back to Josh.
No, go ahead. No, keep the momentum going.
Okay.
Momentum. Hey.
So, Amy, who was ready to read? Because I think we might have shortchanged Amy. I'm not sure. Or Josh, one of the two of you.
We both read two pieces, and we'll read some more. Sure, you know.
I find it hard to count sometimes, so.
Oh yeah, I think the tally's about even. We both read two pieces. I might have read something a little bit longer than one of hers, though.
Oh yeah.
But do you wanna talk about some other stuff, or do you wanna hear poetry?
Oh yeah, well actually, did you wanna talk about Salon Skid Row and how that's going?
We can talk about that for a sec. Yeah, sure.
And Amy was actually featured at a recent...
Yeah, Amy, that's... is that where I met you, actually?
Yeah, it was the open mic where you kept giving me...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Amy originally... Okay, so I'll do a circle on this.
Okay, circle back around.
I'm going to circle on this.
Okay.
So you know, Patrick, I used to be involved in the lit scene. Oh God, my roommate always is like, don't call it a scene. That is so wrong. I say scene ironically. So there we go. In Portland way back in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Yes.
And I dropped out for a while. And then when I was working at the Rialto again, there was some movement between events that were happening. My GM asked me if I could do a weekly event, and of course I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? So I've been doing this weekly show, and it's just been about a year now, and doing a weekly show is super fun, including, you know, trying to wrestle people down with communications and scheduling and receiving bios. I think Jenny Forrester said it best when she said that communicating with poets and trying to get them to confirm to things is like herding cats.
Yes, it totally is.
And that's super fun. And we have...
Josh, would you emphasize where it is? The Three Friends has closed down.
Tell us
what time and
night. We'll definitely get to...
Oh, yeah.
So it's...
So it is held every Tuesday night at the Corner Bar at 401 Southwest Alder Street. Doors are at 7. Show starts at 8 o'clock. Very often, not every week, we have a small open mic because I believe in the good power of an open mic. When I came to town, Leon Grable then had the open mic, and that's where everyone went.
Cafe Lena.
Cafe Lena. So we have a small open mic starting at 8 o'clock that goes right into the features. Usually have about 3 features a night. And at the open mic, here's the circle. At the open mic... I met Amy. Amy read in the open mic. You're friends with some people that I had met there as well. And Leanne
was reading
that
and
night.
And I developed a huge crush on Leanne that evening.
Leanne's awesome.
So much.
So, you know, I wasn't the only one who thought that Amy's work was the bee's knees. And she read a couple more times.
That was the only time that I had actually read. You weren't believing me that I hadn't read
because her work was really good and seasoned, I guess.
I was prepping for having to do my first public reading in Oakland in front of all those slam poets.
Right, right.
So I was super intimidated.
You read at the
Salon Skid Row's open mic portion
of the Nationals. Okay.
Yeah, and then I went down to Oakland.
Then down
so
to
that
Nationals.
Was the so that was the prep that I did. So that's okay. How we met.
And then I asked her to do a feature, and actually she featured with a couple of touring poets who were there at the Nationals. So
part of the Berkeley team.
Part of
that
the
actually
team.
Placed
and
second.
They were great. They were really great.
Oh wow.
Tim Toaster Henderson and
Brennan B. Deep did Frisco.
Yes, correct. So that was a really sweet show, and since then you have, as we mentioned, she has an anthology coming out, and you have a reading coming up.
I do. The Drunken Midnight Choir Anthology Volume 1 is going to be doing its Portland release at Crema Coffee Shop down on Ankeny and 28th.
Northeast or?
It's southeast.
Southeast.
Southeast Ankeny and 28th on Thursday, September 24th. And we're going to try to get things going around 7:30 in the evening. And there's going to be like 13 readers, I believe.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And we're going to be pouring some wine and giving some snacks and stuff. And so I think it's going to be really, really great. And Robert Duncan Gray is going to be hosting the evening. And yeah, it's just going to be, it's going to be pretty amazing, I think.
That's how I get people to come to my events. Come for the snacks, stay for the poets.
Poet snacks.
Yeah. But yeah, so and what? Yeah.
You have a reading coming up too.
Well, I mean,
or an event
every darn week.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night, I can tell you that we have Tom Blood, Megan Burbank, Susan DeFreitas, and Josh Gaines are featuring tomorrow night.
Have you had an Oregon Book winner there yet?
Well, Tom Blood is an Oregon book.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Tom. Well, this would be his third time, actually.
Oh, wow. He's read there three times?
Yeah, yeah. And actually, we took we did this poetry festival in Corvallis, did a Salon Skid Row showcase with Tom and some other fine folks as well. I've had one, I suppose, Oregon book winner. And then I can tell you the big show, the 22nd, Tuesday, September 22nd. This is one lineup here. Timmy Straw, Kevin Sampson, Liz Mell, Catherine Sullivan, Julia Claire Tillinghast, Robert Duncan Gray, and also my friend Shania has a solo music project called Lithopedion, and that is just like, bam, you're welcome. So that's going to be pretty awesome, that show right there, the big show. My GM was even gracious enough. He put an ad in the Mercury, a quarter page
awesome
ad. And apologies, Lithopedion was misspelled, so I already made that personal apology. And then to round out the month, because the whole month is anniversary shows, to round out the month for anniversary shows, the last one on Tuesday, September 29th, we have Donald Dunbar, Allison Cobb, Zachary Cosby, who's going to be doing words and media because we have that capability, and Emily Lake Homer. So that'll round out September, and then we just go right to October. So every week, Tuesday, the Corner Bar, 401 Southwest Alder Street, doors at 7, show at 8.
Awesome.
Bam. Yes. It's been fun, and it's been fun, you know, reconnecting with some of the old folks that I know from when I first came to town and meeting so many new people like Amy and, you know, getting my feet dipped back into the whole, you know, literary community.
You've had a ton of people on at Salon Skid Row over 1 year. It's been amazing, actually.
I
wish I'd gone to it more than I have, but...
Yeah.
I'm kind of lame because I don't go out, but
it's okay. I've had you feature there before.
There and I showed it up one or two other times, but I've always, and hopefully tomorrow night I'll make it because it's Tom Blood.
Sure.
Cool.
But that's the thing. It's Tuesday night. I mean, you know, Tuesdays, there's other events. I know that. I'm not trying to compete with anybody, but the whole point is it's a weekly thing. And 1 week you're like, hey, that lineup looks really cool. And you go check that one out.
So yeah.
One doesn't appeal to you. Whatever. Make it some other week. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, but it's a pretty awesome show.
It's a good time. It's a good time. Yeah. I don't know. I was going to say something before you
interrupted you just to say that I have two readings coming up too.
Wait a minute. Patrick, you got some shows coming up?
I am reading at, Show and Tell Gallery is presenting Jen Coleman and Jennifer Robin.
Nice.
And me at Soundgrounds. This is on Monday, September 28th. It's going to start at 7 p.m. It's 3701 Southeast Belmont. It's on a Monday. The last Monday of September, I'm going to try to read I think I threatened to read something about shadow people. I don't know. I'll see if
sweet.
I pull that off
nice
or not. I don't know if you've ever heard any of those. I have like three of them now.
It kind of like your Godzilla series?
Or? No, it's like they suck people into the carpet and something like that.
Have you ever seen a shadow person?
No, we're not going to talk about it because we're not going to talk about it. Let's just say I'm a little paranoid.
No. Amy, don't look behind you.
Don't look down, because they usually are by the floor. Anyway, and then I am also reading on October 6th, which is a Tuesday night. And it's the new poet challenge that is hosted by Amanda and Curtis White Carroll. Mm-hmm. Amanda actually didn't change her name, even though they're married. It's Amanda Kockstrom-Hellstrom. Whatever. I butchered her name. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I was asked to challenge a new poet, and I'm dragging one of my coworkers down to read something scary, and I'll probably read another horror story.
I thought you meant this was like a Fight Club kind of thing.
No. It's not even like a slam.
I challenge you.
It's not. It's like you challenge someone who doesn't normally read.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's everyone thinks that. It's like they're like, it's either Fight Club or it's a slam, and it's not. It's really nice and mellow. It's at a wine bar. It'll probably be a little bit like your event, even though there won't be 13 poets. You know, I'll be able to read like a 10-minute story probably.
And where's this at?
The wine bar. Jeez, I'll get back to you on that because okay. I was busy looking it up and forgot about it.
Right.
But anyway, it's time for us to read some more poetry.
Oh my!
If we wish.
That time again. Okay. Or
I don't know.
Well, Amy.
Yes.
Yes. What?
Yes, Josh.
Yes.
Yes.
So, would you like to read something?
Sure.
Okay. Or you could tell us about your poetic journey in life or something.
No. Like. No. Okay. I'll read a poem.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
All right. This one's called "I'm Sorry, I Just Didn't Relate to Geek Love."
I still haven't read it.
Neither have I, actually.
Portland used to smell like a few things: mildew, trains, patchouli, espresso, hops, nag champa. Most things were blue and gray and shabby. I took the train everywhere. I lived in an apartment that flooded. Slugs left trails on my floor. It took a while before I began to look up. There is bad science behind all is permissible, an inherent deficit, a loose change effect that leaves a cloying, diminished price war in reverse. I was never able to get the hang of transactions between hearts. The grid of my city used to look like Michigan if the thumb were attached, and Pieces of a Dream hair salon was where I went on my wedding day, right on MLK Jr. Boulevard. Now, it's like someone used a cannon for target practice and shot out the whole center, said, "You can have what's left." At the off-ramp of the Morrison Bridge, my favorite trees flower in succession, magnolia to cherry to dogwood in the brandy-soaked pinks of spring. Only fools hate their city now, though none grow prehensile tails and find solace in gingerbread Victorians crumbling down the side of Knob Hill. To wit, I still find puka shells reprehensible.
Josh, do you have something?
No, I was going to say we need one more.
You want one more?
Is this usually what... Now, during the Talking Earth show, do you usually get... poets in here are like super serious and just
no
stuff. Oh, okay, good.
No, it's a little more lively than
because for some reason we can't like we're like those siblings that just can't look at each other right now.
I'm not gonna look at you
all right
anymore. Yeah. So, are you gonna do one now?
I don't know. Do you want to do one?
Okay, I'll do another one.
Okay, do another
one. Aesop Rock works out at my gym. He runs on the treadmill while I use the stair climber. We both wear earbuds. It could really work. It was suggested to me as I consulted the face pages about what to do in the face of such a bounteous opportunity that I find out his favorite band and wear that t-shirt while working out. Probably soak it in some bleach and rub it on the sidewalk to make it look like I'd loved them forever. Be prepared to have discourse about said band, reference being sad about one of the members leaving last year, and talk about the pros and cons of the production value differences between the second and third albums. In response to protests of my ignorance or possible distaste of the yet-to-be-revealed band, I was told to weigh my priorities.
Awesome. Wait, who is that?
Aesop Rock? Yeah. He's a hip-hop guy.
Okay, I don't know anything.
Bazooka Tooth. What else did he do?
Labor Days.
Yeah, Labor Days, yeah.
He did a project with Kimya Dawson called The Uncluded.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a bunch of stuff going on.
I know Cool Keith.
I only know that because I work in a record store.
Chuck D, Cool Keith.
Atmosphere.
KRS One.
Wow, you guys.
Africa Bambaataa.
Wow, there's the depth. The depth of knowledge in this room is amazing.
And Kendrick Lamar.
Oh my God! Okay,
I don't,
sorry. I'm kidding.
Hey, Josh.
I don't rock climber.
Do you have a poem?
Company
Flow. Do you
have
a poem you'd like to read?
Why, yes. Thank you. I appreciate that.
LP. El Producto. Okay.
So, I'll read two poems here, and then we could go round robin or talk about stuff.
Well, I think we're gonna go out the waltz in a minute.
So. Oh, sweet. Okay. Yeah. I'll read these two. So in the context of art, as it is allowed, this is called fuck metaphors. Everything is just perfect. Street punks are choking on Missoula dust. A Latino dwarf is drunk, lost in a crying jag about Kentucky and how he should have been a jockey. It's tragic as modern love. A procession of queens is dragging in a strange carnival. It's a real live scene. One of them stops me and asks me if I'm gay. I tell him, I'm cheerful most of the time, thanks. And I am, just not today. Maybe it's about money. Maybe it's about my cock. I met a woman at a coffee shop. We talked about San Francisco and New York and flings, putting away foolish things and acting like adults. Put away the whiskey lies. Put away the dreams of making it on talent. Romance is just sincerity. She said she was a hot mess. I tried to make out the curves of her body, but she contorted her arms and legs like a pretzel. She just came from yoga class and claimed to be working her way through a copy of 50 Shades of Grey. It was for a book club. I suggested she use Cliff Notes. We talked more about having a fling. She said she'd have to check her schedule. Maybe she should have used some emoticons. I don't understand what anyone is saying anymore. Fuck metaphors. I see that one bum all over town, huddled in doorways and dreaming, shaking his legs like he's running for the roses. Sometimes you dream about Kentucky and all you get is bourbon. At least he's prolific. The punks, they can keep Missoula, Montana like springtime in Paris. I never learned to car crash. I never learned to chessboard. It's always about money and my cock. I'm always broke and horny. Romance is just sincerity. I just never asked any suicides of the proper arc to fling myself into burning buildings.
Yes!
Okay, and this is a short one, then we'll go to Walt. This is called Keeping the Whiskey. Very short one. She was like leaving a cheap hotel room. You make sure not to leave a single piece of yourself behind. Once I wrote her from jail, the whole letter was composed from song lyrics. I'm so far away from home, and I miss my baby so. I can't make it by myself. Some marriages are all about pretty promises, but I only made one vow. The last time I left her, passed out in a San Francisco flop, I kissed her on the cheek and whispered, baby, I'm keeping the whiskey.
How?
Be right there.
Oh, okay. Well, first, I had a couple things to say anyway, because yeah. I discovered I am reading at Pairings, Portland Wine Shop.
Ah, the power of the internet.
Yes, which is at 455 Northeast 24th. It's right on Gleason and 24th.
Mm.
And it's a nice little, it's a very small corner shop. It's pretty cool.
Who are you going to be fighting?
No one. As I explained earlier, Reed, you challenge.
You are such a jerk.
No, he's just not. Come on. The host.
I know, Patrick.
Get someone to challenge, like an established poet, to challenge someone to go read. They're basically, it's not a challenge. It's like encouraging an addiction to poetry by getting someone who's just barely writing and getting them to go to a reading and get hooked.
So because you know someone, that gives you license to be mean to them?
What? I'm not being mean.
The discussion.
It's called banter.
Oh.
Banter.
Okay.
See, this is lack of banter what we're doing right now.
Dead air.
Yeah.
Dead air.
Dead air. It sounds like a really cool event. So you're bringing someone from the station, right?
No, I'm bringing someone from my workplace.
From your workplace. Oh.
Who actually writes.
Out in Beaverton?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. That sounds pretty cool.
So I was wondering if I could read the list of the poets that are actually going to be at the...
Sounds great.
At the anthology.
Yeah. Yes, do that.
Yeah.
So we have Faith McGee, Sophia Faf Shalmayev, Robert Lashley, Clementine Von Radix, Samantha Peterson, John Barrios, Kiki Nicole, Jamie Martaro, who's going to be here next week, right? Miranda Bish, Ross Robbins, Stephen Meads, Heather Ackles, and our very own Todd Gleason reading, as well as yours truly. So
now that's one heck of an event.
I would say that is
pretty sweet. When is that again?
It's on Thursday, September 24th.
The
7 p.m.
The pratfalls of being a nighttime bartender is I don't make it out to enough events, I feel bad because I'm like, hey, come to my show. And then I work all the time and I can't make it out to a lot of amazing stuff like
you
that.
You do what you can.
I know. But that sounds like
a cool event.
One though. Heck of a show. That should be good. Is Walt still wandering the halls?
Let's just keep saying,
What?
Wanted to say that, Walt wanted to say a prayer for Barbara because Barbara and Robert are going through some hard times. Barbara Lamorticella is the longtime host of Talking Earth, and we're working on her actually doing a show sometime soon. We're going to have to figure out when.
I wanted her to come out and read at my thing, but I know that her husband has been what he's been going through, and
he's been sick. And did she actually? She never was able to do a reading there, was
no,
she?
No, she's come out and been in the audience before, and that was the first time I actually seen her before. Like it was like I don't know 10, 12 years ago. I read with her in the studio here. I think you were working that night here.
I probably
do
was
you remember?
Yeah,
I have it on cassette somewhere. You know.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I have all those old cable things. But no, she came out to the show. I touched base with her, and I know that there's been a lot going on. So she, of course, has an open invitation anytime.
Yeah, that would be great.
Oh yeah, of course.
And then I also read on Facebook recently that Ed Morris, who also hosts another reading series, unfortunately is also on a Tuesday night.
Yeah, the hour that stretches at the Jade Lounge
and
every
that he
Tuesday
is,
night. Once a month on Tuesdays. I think it's first Tuesday or second Tuesday, something like that.
Yeah, and then he's been sick, actually. And
yeah,
he's got
I
out
saw
of the
that,
hospital.
Too. Yeah,
so,
prayers kinda, to him.
Yeah, prayers to him, too.
Correct.
And then perhaps we will have... Oh, Walt switched mics. We'll have Walt. Walt, did you want to actually... Okay, that one.
Well, when you're ready.
We are ready.
Yeah.
We are totally ready. We were hoping we'd do a prayer because mentioned everyone is kind of Barbara and
let's talk about Barbara Lamorticella and Robert.
I kind of just did actually, but like if
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want right. do you did you have a prayer you wanted to say because like
Well, you know, the prayer is that remember, Patrick, we went out there a number of times on Skyline, and Barbara and Robert came from the San Francisco mine troop, you know, to come to Oregon. And she's been 20 years on the Talking Earth. I mean, I want yin and yang, and I'm really looking forward to Camille, you know, having some yin. I mean, I like your yang, but I mean, I just think there should be a balance on this. But We've had wonderful Robert, religiously, what do you do before you have a fast? You don't drink or you don't eat meat or something before, what do you call it, before, after a certain point, or then you come back in New Orleans, you know, you there was a time that you...
You mean Lent?
Lent?
Well, I guess we're calling it Lent. Yeah, help. Let's all chime in. Let's call it Lent. I'm not a Catholic, yeah. But the point is, and then on Easter, we would go out there and have a huge feast. We'd have the most wonderful sausage, homemade sausage, and the family. I mean, those were wonderful. They had wonderful feasts, and her daughter Paula is up there, and the kid Romeo, and I got into trouble up on the hill there. I was with the kids, and they wanted me to go to the treehouse, and I did, but it was a bad idea because, I don't know, family is so protective of their, you know, offspring, and I don't blame them, but Romeo is just an adorable kid. But anyway, the point is, I called, Barbara called me, and then when I got her back on the phone, I'm not going to make the details. I'll simply say that she was waiting for the Kaiser doctor to call, and that Robert might have had a serious thing. So, Patrick, you'll call her tomorrow. And so,
I actually talked to her earlier. She sounded all right. I didn't know any of that, though, but I knew. I kind of have an idea what's been going on. But
well, she's been taken care of. She sort of took a hiatus from the Talking Earth, you know, because of helping Robert with health problems.
But hopefully she'll be doing a show soon or something like that.
Yeah. Well, let's.
I was going to get back to the poets. Because no,
okay. One call, though. We have one more call, 877-500-5266. Call in for Barbara Lenamoricello. Just do an EFT, $5 a month, $60, whatever. And just do it for Barbara. Do it for Patrick.
Or you could go online to a KBOO.fm.
Yeah, maybe it's too late at night. Yeah.
No, they could do that anytime the website.
Anytime they want.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's respect this wonderful poetic literary free space that we have commandeered that is nowhere else in the United States and probably in the world. And KBOO is such a special place because we teach people radio and we... I want to end just like this. I didn't do this show 45 years ago for my ego, exactly. Mm-hmm. I do have an ego. I know that. I'm not going to deny that. But what was amazing about it is, like Josh and Amy in there, to come on live and be able to speak to the world. It's exciting, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
Josh and Amy, isn't it fun?
And we're gonna have them do it again.
Okay. Well, let's go for it. Okay.
Okay. I want to get
the Talking Earth.
Get
talking
both of them
earth.
Have.
Let's go.
I'm gonna have both of you read a poem at least.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for having us on.
Oh, no, it's always been a pleasure to have both of you on.
It's always been a pleasure to participate and do anything in the KBOO studios. It always feels like, and I hope that you feel the same way, that it feels like home, even if it's just the first time. What?
This is super cool.
Okay, thank you. Does it feel like home?
It feels so comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm so comfortable in here.
Okay.
I wish I could be here all the time.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But enjoy the last 7 minutes.
I will.
Okay. Speaking of which, read us a poem.
Okay.
All right.
So I'm assembling a chapbook right now. And so some of these poems are from that. This is my 20-year anniversary of having come to Portland. And so I've written quite a bit about how much I love my city. So, and oh, my city, my sister unborn, your skyline becomes unrecognizable. All flocks of flightless cranes and gatherings of dry mouths down at St. Francis Park. parched from snowy crow's sovereign farmland, from endless escalades and HR departments, from humid suffering along chain rust fences, from flat ironed blonde highlights, dirt pack roads, and strip malls of tedious architecture, teasing fruited futures out to drown in malt liquor, in clubs projecting models strip walking overhead, while brides-to-be receive penis-shaped cakes, we arrived ready to keen at the altar of your buckled, imperfect sidewalks.
Yeah. Sweet.
No.
And you know, Amy, if I don't give you a hard time, that if I, when I give you a hard time, that means I like you.
Yeah.
You know that. Okay.
Oh, 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 I got that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Because I'm not really a jerk.
I take it all back. I take it all back.
Too late. Too soon. All right, so I'll read something. All right, this is it's called The Way of Ghosts. I heard that the strip club was once a funeral home, and now it was haunted by the ghost of something. In the girls' dressing room, there were two drains in the floor. This was it, the weight of the world without warmth or memory. So, I used to say to myself, armed with a mop bucket and a bristle brush, scrubbing away centuries of secrets and stains, this is where the morticians applied their glitter and makeup. Megan was one of the dancers. She always climbed the pole higher than the other girls, but was afraid of heights and usually got stuck halfway down. She always tried to slide, subtle as a sleepwalker, but the fear floated up to her with that subtle twist of kiss and kill as she stared at the floor towards her destiny. "It's those last few feet that get me," she said. I told her to stop looking. Sometimes she sat at the bar, halfway through a nod. She talked a lot about her cousin who had cancer and how he had it for years and was lost inside a medicated spiral of chemo and morph, with waiting with sunken eyes and thin limbs finally for the end. She was starting to resemble him. It had nothing to do with sympathy. Keith was the nighttime manager. He was close to hitting bottom, said it didn't bother him, but he spoke in slow motion. Everything that exited his mouth sounded like it was being dubbed from some bad kung fu film. He spoke how methadone and pills were the answer for his kind of sick, but no was all he overly enunciated, was all I could translate, his eyes wide at the shock of himself. "This is the way of ghosts," he seemed to say aloud. I was the cook, but I knew the ways their arms were mapped and why. The last time my man met me, I told him to make it quick. I was done dancing and didn't want to keep haunting myself. Keith had a car. I had to take the train home. We were always the last to leave the place, long after 3 a.m., after garbage runs, lights out, setting the alarms and locking the doors. It was winter, and often I walked to the station through a storm. It was almost 4. February, far below freezing, and I sat, huddled by the tracks, alone, silent in the snow, watching, half horrified, by a million little ghosts zigzagging the sky slowly as feathers down, one inch at a time, the way that we all are afraid to finally fall. And I know the way of ghosts, of cease, desist, and shame, of sex and drugs. I wanted to tell Keith and Megan, fleeting and fragile as snowflakes, our shadows know nothing of rattling chains and wrapping them in a clean white cloth. It doesn't mean you're dead. You can rest now. You can wake now. You can stop looking. You can rise again. You can never lose time. Sometimes you just keep it in strange places.
Wow, Josh.
Thank you.
That was...
What?
That almost reminded me of some of the stuff I do. The surrealism, the ghosts and stuff.
Oh, well, I the last chapbook I had was when I worked at this awful strip club in Gresham. I called it The Place Where Dreams Go to Die. So I had all these pieces, and this is when I wrote Long was, After. So, yeah.
But, I mean, it's just kind of like the surrealism. But to just
Thank
end
you.
On a high note...
Yes.
And that was a very high note, but... just to reiterate, we all have, you have
Salon Skid Row every Tuesday night, the corner bar, doors at 7, show at 8. Got a show tomorrow, big show on the 22nd, and they're on out.
And then Amy, you have a show coming up?
Yes, Drunken and Midnight Choir's anthology release over at Crema on September 24th at 7 p.m.
And my name is Patrick Bocard. I'd like to thank both of my hosts, or my guests tonight, who also helped
You're
host.
Welcome. Thank you.
Josh Lubin and Amy Zimmerman.
Thank you.
And I'd like to remind everyone.
On Radio High Five, Amy.
Yes.
On Radio High Five. And I'd like to remind everyone out there that I actually am reading both on Monday night, Monday, September 28th at Soundgrounds. With Jen Coleman and Jennifer Robin.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
And it's produced by Show and Tell Gallery. And I'm also reading on October 6th as part of New Poet Challenge.
All right.
And
thank you, Patrick.
You've been listening to KBO Portland, 9.7 AR FM dial. And please stay tuned to Subhuman Intellect Theater, which I think is ready to go on right now. Maybe? Yes.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Midway Festival of Nations on Sunday, September 20th from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Division Street Shopping Center located at 122nd and Southeast Division. The Festival of Nations is a family-friendly free event in the Midway District. They are celebrating their very diverse community with a variety of music, clowns, face painting, local vendors, service organizations, and other surprises. The Taste of the Nations is a special food area where local families will prepare traditional food, and it will be available for purchase and samples. Again, that's the Midway Festival of Nations on Sunday, September 20th, from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Division Street Shopping Center. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the inaugural Portland Youth Poet Laureate Project on Monday, September 28th at 7 p.m., 12 of Portland's poetry